Welcome to Hype, episode 60. We are back, and by we, I mean me. We are back. Our name is Selena, and we are royal now. So this is how we will be addressing ourselves. I am not alone, despite the fact that no one laughed at my joke. I do actually have both Kyle and Pam with me. Hello.
Hey, I laughed. I
Hi.
was
Oh yeah,
I'm so
right.
happy you're back, by the way, because I felt so much pressure having to intro the show last week.
Oh no. You know what? I didn't listen to it because it didn't go on iTunes.
I just, you
So,
know, you have big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I do wear a 39, which is makes means
Wow. It's
nothing to
not
you
very
guys.
large, actually,
No,
in
it's
American
not.
sizes. It's like a size
In
eight,
American sizes,
so
that's huge.
Yeah, if it was like an American size 39, then I would agree with you. But you know, no, just to our listeners as well, if you haven't listened to episode 59 yet, it's because it didn't go on iTunes. We can blame our
Scandal.
fearless leader for that. Yes, I know. It's horrible. I asked Andrew about it because we had some comments, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I went to fix them all, but I forgot Hive." And I was like, "No, why?" He leaves the show and he forgets us. Before we move on with the show, I just want to quickly do what I always do, which is remind you of our contact information. Hype is, of course, Hypeable.com's podcast, all about the latest fandom news and discussion. And you can find us on Twitter at HypeableHype, and you can find us on Instagram at HypeableHype. And of course, you can find us on Hypeable. If you go to the left-hand corner, there's these little lines that you click, and it opens a menu of goodness. And you can leave us comments about the show and about the news stories, things you want us to discuss, things you don't think we covered, all of that stuff. So please do that, because then we can include it in the next episode. Okay, so guys, we are going to start with how we hype this week. And, No, it seems like no one's really done anything except Kyle.
Yeah, apparently.
And you've seen a movie
Well,
and it's not exactly anything new.
no, okay. Is this okay? 'Cause I mean,
It's fine.
okay.
It's fine. Whatever.
God. Well, it's new to me. I just saw Grease for the first time, starring John Travolta. I was so surprised because, like, I don't know, I just never watched it, and it was on TV, and I was like, oh, I guess this is on. All right. So I watched it very confused at the ending.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that car flew into the air. John Travolta is also really attractive. Oh my
Do
gosh.
you really think so?
I had
You
no
know,
idea how attractive he was back then, and I was eyeballing him the entire time. And it was also like, I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be cheesy or if it was supposed to be legitimate because it was so ridiculous, and like these people were playing high school kids, and like there's this one guy in the leather group of guys that like looks like he's straight up 40 and he's trying
Well,
to
there
be a
was
high school kid.
one lady who was like 40, right?
Yeah, and
Yeah,
so I don't
Frenchie.
know. There's this point where like the main girl, what's her name?
Sandy.
Sandy.
Sandy, when she like went to check in at the office for her class, I was like, oh, is she a teacher? And then she's like, oh, I'm here for my first day. I was like, oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay.
So that was my experience.
Right.
Maybe I should write something about it because I was just very
You
confused.
should, like, first time experience. Yeah, those are always fun.
You know, Grease is one of those movies that I always felt like I, like, looking back on it, I watched way too friggin' young. Like, there's some, like, I always think about, like, when I was in, I just remember this very vividly. When I was in elementary school, I had a group of friends that wanted to do, like, it must have been like third grade or maybe a little younger. They wanted to do the Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee sleepover song for the talent show. And then the lady that was doing the talent show, she was like, "That's inappropriate." And we didn't understand why. Then later I was watching it. It's like, oh, won't go to bed till I'm legally wed. Duh. Like,
Oh
that's
no.
really
That's
inappropriate
so
for like
funny.
8-year-olds to be singing. But anyway, yeah, like, but that's cool that you watched it. That's like a classic. And now you will be ready for Fox's Grease live production. that's coming up next year.
Yes, there's your sort of relevant tie-in. Awesome. Yeah, well, I guess, you know, it's always good. You know, people are like, oh, I can't believe you've never watched it before. But surely the important thing is that you watched it now. So good for you.
Thank
Have you
you.
seen The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Good, because that's my favorite movie, and we might have
Okay.
to
Yeah.
defriend each other if you hadn't.
So much for my nice
Not
little
The Sound of
statement.
Music, though, which is my other
Ooh, you should watch
one.
that.
So,
So Pam, what have you been doing?
yeah, what have you been doing?
Well,
Tell us.
you know, it's funny because like I spent like the entire week, I'm not even joking, you guys, like or well, weekend debating between watching Mission Impossible, the new Mission Impossible, or going to see Fantastic Four, and I couldn't make up my mind, so I ended up not watching either,
Oh
which
no.
is terrible. Yeah, and I just like it just never happened, and I just was indecisive. So, and I know Fantastic Four is getting some really not great
I
reviews,
really
but
want to watch it
yeah, but
because
I
of
do want to
those
watch it.
reviews.
Yeah,
I will
and
suggest
yeah, go on.
spending your money on Mission Impossible, and then if it happens to, be playing when Mission Impossible ends, you just find yourself accidentally lost in that theater, and then,
Oh
just
my gosh,
Kyle, you're such a
Kyle.
delinquent. You've been watching too much
I'm just
Grease.
saying, Fantastic Four does not deserve anyone's money.
Have you seen it?
No,
Then you don't
but
know, do you? That's very
literally every single one of my
judgy.
friends that's seen, like, I'm not exaggerating when I say literally every single one of my friends that have seen it has messaged me and been like, "No, you cannot see this
Well,
movie." And I was like,
you know
"Okay."
what? I mean, we haven't seen them, so we shouldn't talk too much about the movies we haven't seen. But I'm definitely going
That's
to watch
fair.
it because I'm very interested in this whole superhero director studio dispute thing. Like, I'm thinking of looking into it more and writing an actual informed article about it because it just seems really interesting to me how there's this shift. Like, TV is a writer's medium, right? They just bring in directors to carry out the writer's vision, and movies is considered a director's medium. But it seems like these cinematic universes is this in-between thing where no one really knows who's in charge. And it's just these they have all these disconnects, like where you end up with these movies where the director's like, I wanted something else, and they ruined it, and people don't really know who to quote unquote blame. And I just think that's so fascinating. So I really want to watch
Yeah,
it,
it's
like for that
definitely like
reason.
it's the man behind the curtain, isn't it? Because we always hear about like even before directors get signed, like directors are in talks and then they drop out because the vision that they have doesn't adhere to the vision of the studio. So I would wholeheartedly support you in that.
Super interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we'll report back next week when we've actually seen it, if we've seen it. I can report, by the way, that Pitch Perfect is now in Danish cinema, so I might go see
Perfect.
that. So before we move on, I just quickly want to say, you know, I went to Malta last week, and that was fun. I've never been there before. It was very, very different from what I expected. I don't go on charter holidays that much. You know, I usually take more interesting holidays. And so we thought this was going to be this sort of more luxury resort kind of place, because that's what we've heard. Everyone's like, oh, Malta's so amazing. It's so relaxing. It's not like that, guys. It's crazy. It's just to sum up, because I figure this would be interesting for listeners who might not have been there. It's extremely hot. Like, I'm sure you guys can relate because you're in LA. I'm in Denmark, which is like a perfect climate kind of compared to that. People are in our experience, like, I don't want to generalize, but people were so rude to us. And like both the tourists and non-tourists were so rude and shouting at us and shouting at each other, and just, I'm sure it's the heat, like people, it's very hard for them. There's these buses that you take to get around the island, and they're packed, like so packed, like not everyone gets on the buses, and you have to like wait for an hour for the next one, and you have to stand probably, and the buses go extremely slowly, and they like all these jerks and stops. So crazy, but also amazing, because it's there's so much life and there's so much culture, and it's this blend of just, oh, so amazing. But so anyway, I just wanted to talk about it because I actually did have some fandom connections. First of all, I told Kyle this yesterday, and I figure it's okay to say it on hype because at this point it'll be if it was really what happened, then he'll be gone, so it's fine. I'm pretty sure that I saw Harry Melling, who played Dudley in Harry Potter, waiting for a bus. And it was a weird experience because, like, I actually interviewed him a few years ago at the red carpet for the studio tour, so I know what he looks like now. But this guy, who I'm pretty sure was him, was like a little bit bulkier and had like really short hair, so I wasn't, and he was very tan, obviously. So I was like, that looks a lot like Dudley, but I'm not sure. But then I actually saw some pictures of him later because I looked it up, and that's actually what he looks like now. So I don't know. And that's kind of funny. So if I'm not sure I'll ever be able to confirm it unless someone happens to be an expert on Harry Melling's whereabouts.
Actually, that reminds me of a really, I'll tell you guys a really funny story. So that's pretty hilarious, but nothing is as awkward as being seated at a table next to somebody that you interviewed not long ago on a red carpet.
Yeah.
So I went to dinner with Marima before she left back to Australia. And like, as we were getting seated in this place in Santa Monica, like I look over and this guy that's sitting at these tables, are like really close together.
If it
together,
was Bradley James, I'm so done.
No, it was not Bradley James. Like if it was Bradley James, I would have told you it was Bradley James. Anyway. And then I probably would have cried because he would have been like, who are you? Anyway, so like I'm like going to this table and like I see this guy and I'm like, that guy looks familiar, and I'm trying to figure out why he looks familiar, but I just kind of chalk it up to like having one of those faces. But then we make awkward eye contact and I'm like, oh, that's right. I just interviewed you like 2 weeks ago. Oh, it's no. This like Disney Channel guy. So it's like he's not like the biggest deal in the world, but I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. So then I'm going to the bathroom and I tell my best friend, I'm like, yeah, that guy's sitting at the table, I totally just interviewed him, and now he probably thinks that I just like know who he is. But I just know who he is because I needed to for work. So then the whole meal I like try not to look at him because I don't want it to be a thing.
Yeah.
And then my friend's like, yeah, she's like, it's so funny because you're trying not to look and he's trying not to look and you're both trying not to look at each other and you're both trying to figure out where you know each other from. So it was just like a 45-minute ordeal of me just like not wanting to say anything. And him just like not saying anything either. And it was just so random.
That's so funny. But then see, you've already kind of like, you could have said hi. Like, you know.
Probably, but I did. I figured, like, if anything, he would have just been like, oh, it's just one of my many fans. I'm like, I'm a little too old to be a fan of yours, yeah. My friend. So,
oh, well.
That's my story.
That's funny. But that's so funny, though. Like, that sometimes happens. Like, you see them out and about. Like, I saw the guy who played, what's his face? The creepy guy in Game of Thrones. All of them. What's his name?
Oh,
Ramsay Snow?
Ian Rian?
Yeah. I saw him in Oxford once, and it was just like, what? This is weird. You're not on my screen. What's happening? But this one was like, I was like, should I go and ask? But you can't go and ask. Excuse me, are you
right.
Dudley? Like, even if it's not, that would be horrible. Like, so no, I couldn't do that. But if it was him, that's kind of funny. And then also we went on this hike. We took a lot of hikes, and I was, we went into this, it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Like there's just nothing bad to say, about the area there. And, we went, along the water, and we went by this creek, and there was this cafe which had like really interesting seafood and stuff. So we went in there, and then we were looking at the menu, and then in chalk in the corner was like, this cafe was used as a set in the Angelina Jolie movie By the Sea. I was just like, what?
What?
Fandom is everywhere. So that's my story of my vacation. I'll be sharing some pictures on social media just because I don't go on a lot of holidays, so it's kind of a big deal for me. So this was my Comic-Con, guys. This was what I got. So, yeah.
Fun That's a times. Sad Comic-Con. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, now. I thought it was pretty fun. You know, they actually do have a Comic-Con in Malta, and I'm really curious what the hell happens there. I don't know. I saw an ad.
I wonder who goes.
I know. I right? don't know who, like, if anyone. But then I don't know anything about Malta. Like, when did you ever hear about that country? You know?
Never.
Nothing. Mm. Just that sometimes people vacation there. Like
yeah,
you.
Right. Like people
and
vacation
apparently
there.
I don't know why they vacation there because it's terrible.
It's not terrible. It's really great. It's just, I mean, there's a lot of people there, and I think the tourists are making it really hard for them. Like, I don't know, but I could imagine if I lived somewhere that was overrun by like entitled tourists, I would probably get pretty pissed off at them too.
I mean, like, I don't know. San Francisco is very similar, as I'm sure Kyle can attest to. So,
yeah,
kind of gotta. But I don't feel like we're rude over there. We're just like, all right,
no,
okay, like, right. Get out of the streets. So you don't.
Not everyone was rude. We just had some encounters that were unfortunate. Good. But you know, I mean, it was fine, and we both made it. We both made it despite like heat stroke and food poisoning and all kinds of fun stuff. So, whew. So that's us all caught up, I think, for the last week. So let us head into our news segment, which I have to say I'm very proud. It's beautiful this week. It just goes from related story to related story. We're going to be doing a lot of speaking ofs this week. So get ready to start the count. That should be a drinking game, you know, a podcast drinking game. I feel like that should be a thing.
Yes.
And starting us off this week, this is, you know, when Maram is not here, we all have a chance to be first. And this week it's Kyle. So go for
it. Yes. You know, last week I was first, even when Maram was here.
What? Maybe you're going to say Maram.
It was Kyle last week too.
I think it's
about because these past 2 weeks I've been going ahead and choosing my stories 24 hours or more before we record.
Yeah.
Which gives me ample time to pick.
Well, you know,
the top
that makes it better for me, even though I did actually accidentally delete your stories this week because you picked them so early. I thought they were old stories. So anyway, carry on. Take us into fandom.
So our first story this week is actually Fantastic Beasts related. Actually, our first three stories are Fantastic Beasts related. And my story is that Colin Farrell has been cast to be part of this amazing movie, and I'm so excited. I love Colin Farrell. He's pretty awesome. And he's going to be playing the role of Graves. And Graves is explained to be a wizard that Newt's commander meets in New York, according to the Hollywood Reporter. So we don't really know that much about him. We don't really know much about any character, really. But it was so funny because I think it was Andrew who wrote the story up, I think. Yeah. And he did a search for Graves in, you know, the wizarding world of Harry Potter, and the only Graves that shows up is a Merton Graves, who was a cellist for the Weird Sisters, born in the 1970s. So definitely not going to be him.
No, but it probably is. I like. I like. I've been speaking another language for too long. So guys, I really like it. But no, that she's using these little names, like even if it doesn't have any relevance and even if it's super obscure, like I like that they are connected to people that we know.
Yeah, I like it's really cool.
So awesome. But Colin Farrell though, it's so random. Like all the actors.
It really is, and we need to give him a chance to come back in film, because the last thing he did was the freaking, what was it called?
True
the Winter's
Detective?
Tale, and that was so bad.
Oh, was it? That had a what's-her-face from...
Like, okay, so I liked the film as a film, I enjoyed it, but, like, just plot-wise, it made no sense. And Will Smith played the devil, and it made no sense.
Well, that should be a automatic win right there. That's awesome.
So I'm glad that he's getting a chance to be in something awesome and big, and
yeah,
and I look forward to it.
Cool. And in related Fantastic Beasts news, we had just and this all broke, by the way, the day after or the day you guys released the show last week. So
of course
it did. And this other story. Two more actors have joined this cast. Jen Murray from Ireland, or an Irish actress, and Ezra Miller, who has, his name has been connected to Fantastic Beasts for a while, and now it's apparently official that he will be joining the movie. And he will be a rival to Newt, and he was sort of, people were speculating that he was going to play Jacob, who's also a rival to Newt. So this is sort of super interesting, and obviously Ezra Miller has the sort of Harry Potter connection, because he starred with Emma Watson in Perks of Being a Wallflower. And then Jen Murray, who just, she looks so much like Ivana Lynch. It's pretty crazy. I don't know if you guys have noticed. So Whoa. That's, I wonder if that's
I didn't notice until you said something.
And she's Irish, so I'm like, don't know if there's going to be a love good connection. Probably not. Probably that would be too on the nose. Oh,
but could you imagine, though? That would be amazing.
Yeah, because Luna does end up marrying Newt Scamander's grandson, doesn't she? So it could be something there.
That'd be great.
Yes. So, but no, so interesting stuff. And I'm super excited about Ezra Miller. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about him. And this might sound completely stupid, but he has that Harry Potter look.
He does. Like, you're right. He looks magical. I can see him
fitting into the world really well.
I always thought he looked a lot like Peter Pan.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
And our final Fantastic Beasts piece.
Yes. So you brought up Ivana Lynch in your last story, and that's fairly fitting because, of course, we know that she famously got the part of Luna Lovegood by attending an open casting call. And so our final piece of casting news for Fantastic Beasts is very similar to that. You guys may have remembered that a couple of weeks ago, there was an open call because the studio was looking for a 10-year-old girl to play the role of Modesty, who is described as a haunted character with an inner strength and stillness. And so we have found our Modesty, and that actress is Faith Wood Balgrove. I remembered her first name, but I couldn't remember her last name.
Can you believe how beautiful her name is? Like, I feel like they picked her partly because of her name, because it's so, it's like, very, wow.
It's very whimsical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's, it's like, yeah. So she's kind of like the Ivana of this movie, I guess. Like, it's going to be hers to either shine or.
And she's 10 years old.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is insane.
It is. And then Joe tweeted that she's looking forward to meeting her. So I'm sure that. Probably. It was really exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I know. Why are we young anymore, you guys? Like,
seriously. But like if you, I don't know how many people are listening to this, but like if you were there and you actually auditioned, because 10,000 people auditioned for this. So
yeah, so
like,
surely one of them is a hype listener. I mean, let's get real. Let's do the math.
Right?
of all the people saying, in the world.
Like for all those people, they're so lucky to have been a part of this process. Like, to be able to audition for a Harry Potter film again. You know, like, that's just, it's so rare.
Yeah, you're right.
So, it's like, I'm so jealous.
Oh, you know what, though? Don't be jealous of a 10-year-old, Kyle.
But there are going to be 3 films, so perhaps you will get an opportunity to audition for something later down the line.
You do kind of look like Ezra Miller, so if that character needs a brother... Yeah.
You know, and you did say the other day that you could still fit into your 8-year-old jeans.
I can. So, it's very true.
I mean, that's interesting. We actually had this, it was very similar in Denmark. There was this famous Danish children's novel, which I read when I was young. And this main character, Dina, with the beautiful raven horse mane hair, who had the power to make people feel shame. It's called The Shamer's Daughter. It was made into a movie. And they had this open casting call for kids to play these roles. And it broke my heart a little bit because it was always my dream. That was like wanted to be Dina. And I was like, if they ever make a movie, I want this role. Like from I was like 8 years old. I'm too old.
I feel like we all have movies like books like that, though. It's like you read them and you're like, I would do that. I could be this character. Yeah, and then just all of a sudden, like, it gets made and you're like,
I could maybe be the mom. Like,
all right. I concede.
Yeah, see, for me, it would always be like TV shows. Like, I'd grow up watching Charmed, and I'd be like, I want to be a part of this.
Aww.
Like, I think I even emailed someone at some point. I don't even know who I emailed, but I was like, I can play Piper's daughter. Not daughter. Wow.
Daughter?
I can play Piper's 8-year-old daughter.
I was like, I could play Piper's son. It's like, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, I don't know, like, three or four years later, I keep saying different numbers, but like a few years later, they actually had her have a son on the show, and I was like, my email.
It was your idea.
Yeah.
So speaking of things that we would audition for if they happened.
That was the exact same transition I was going to use.
Synergy.
Speaking of TV series that I will never be on, Harry Potter, the TV series, is probably not happening, according to J.K. Rowling. And I'm so happy I said her name right. Thank
you
God.
Did. You did very well.
So J.K. Rowling tweeted a really sarcastic response when someone asked if there was going to be a TV show for the Harry Potter series.
She's so sassy.
And she was like, right after the opera, Potter on Ice, and interpretive dance version of Beetle and the Bard. Hashtag not actually happening.
You know what, though? That interpretive dance was kind of what happened in the last movie, so...
It's true. It's so
jokes
true.
Jokes on her.
No, but it's really sad. It makes sense that...
Well,
said,
you know what, though? What do you guys think? Because people are saying, oh, well, this means it's never going to happen. I read this tweet as saying it's just not in development.
Yeah, I don't think it's not going to happen. I think if anything...
I think it's not going to happen in the next 5 years.
No.
But
it's still a possibility.
Yeah, by the time we're old enough to play the teachers, it'll probably happen. I'll be McGonagall. Like,
you know, I mean, since the BBC has already worked as on a miniseries for the Castle of Vacancy and is also working on a series for the Cuckoo's Calling, the BBC is going to start getting this relationship with J.K. Rowling that's going to end up really well if these go well, and they're going to end up wanting to make Harry Potter into a miniseries. Like, BBC is just going to see it, and they're like, we have to do this.
I think also it's a matter of how the movie and TV thing is sort of shifting around, and there's this streaming on-demand TV shows are becoming more like movies. There's a Shadowhunters TV show coming out. There's a we're going to get to other series that are going to be made into TV series later in the show. I don't want to spoil your news, Pam. So I think it is a matter of time. And by the time they get around to wanting to adapt Harry Potter again, which is probably going to be 10 to 20 years down the line, they're probably going to be thinking a TV series because it's just a way to expand on the story and to actually tell it the way it was meant to be told. So, I mean... It's not happening now, but it's not unlikely, I think, that they're going to go this route when they do the reboot. I say when they do the reboot, because let's get real.
They're going to do the reboot.
Yeah.
Plus, she has a lot on her plate right now, so it's totally understandable that she's like, no, I have enough.
Yeah, and when it happens, it's going to be so much better than a new series of movies, which is going to be like the same time constraints and having to make the same sacrifices and stuff, so... Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm all for it if it ever happens.
Oh my goodness. Spending an hour alone on them going through all the trials to get to the Chamber of Secrets, like, would be amazing.
What, you mean the Philosopher's Stone?
Oh, sorry. That's what I meant.
Okay, then.
Wow. Harry Potter. Rowling.
You exerted all of your energy in trying to pronounce Rowling's name right, and
it's
now you're
so true. So true.
All right, so we're finally done with J.K. Rowling news. Well, let's get real. It's what we love to talk about. So here's something I love to talk about. There is a new Star Wars The Force Awakens TV spot, which shows the First Order assembling. It's not a lot of new footage. You can see the clip on Hypeable. It's basically just the first part where you have a shot, like very sort of, when you talk about Harry Potter being inspired by the World War II, here's another franchise which is clearly inspired. The First Order of, I don't know if I want to call them Siths, because I feel like that's maybe not exactly what they are, but they're assembling, and there's clearly a lot of forces that are out to beat our heroes. And Josh writes in his article that they are standing behind the film's villain Kylo Ren, who is played by Adam Driver. And we also see a shot in the trailer of what I think is Gwendolyn Christie's Captain Phasma. So that's... Oh, it's so exciting. I'm so excited, you guys.
I'm like... not a Star Wars, like a heavy Star Wars fan, but I'm really excited.
I'm so glad
this movie just looks like it's going to be amazing.
If you're not excited for the lore, at least you can be excited for the cast or for the director, J.J. Abrams.
I'm just like, I'm just really excited because like I did watch the Star Wars films and I did like them a lot. And whenever a fandom from the past kind of gets a reboot and the fans are behind it, I get really excited.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm the thing that makes me happy is that Star Wars fans are happy. They're all really looking forward to this, and they're all really stoked. And no one's being like, What?
I was just going to say, you know what's funny is that, like, back when they were doing episode one, I vaguely remember, like there was a lot of apprehension, but there was also a lot of excitement. Like, people were legitimately thinking that this was going to be amazing. And it was such a letdown. And I just think it says a lot that now we're back, like, 10, 15 years later, and people are excited again. Like, they're ready to give it another shot. And the Star Wars fans are enduring, you know, they're really hardcore, and they're like, we're not going to let the prequels get us down. I think that's fantastic.
So this is actually kind of interesting, because Spielberg, of course, is working on two different movies right now. He's working on an adaptation of Roald Dahl's The BFG, and then he's also working on Ernest Cline's Ready Player One. And according to this new report, he's actually trying to get Gene Wilder, who most of us probably know as Willy Wonka from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, out of retirement and play a role in one of these two films, which is really kind of interesting. And it's, like, so funny, because I was reading this story when it popped up, and I just, like, he's just one of those faces that are so ageless. But, like, in my mind, that I just kind of forget that he's, like, human. He actually ages. And so it was so strange to see him, you know, older. But the story actually comes from Ain't It Cool News. And so I guess a lot of people are speculating that if he goes with the BFG, then he'll be voicing one of the giants. But if he goes with Ready Player One, then he might be the virtual embodiment of James Halliday, who is, of course, kind of this billionaire who is giving away his fortune. And that's really what kind of drives the main character, Wade, to collect the clues and try and win the grand prize. And after looking at him in this photo we have up on Hypebeable.com, I could totally see him as a James Halliday.
Also thinking, like, Inicool didn't say this, so I didn't write in the article, but also the James Halliday's friend would also be, because he's older, right?
Bit older. Yeah, well, they're about the same age. Yeah,
but he didn't die, so he aged. So, right. And we did have a comment on Hypebeable about this from Lee, who said that he had a problem, or she had a problem, with Wilder being Halliday because he's 82 years old and Halliday was 67 when he died. Which, I mean, I personally have to admit that these kind of things, they are not a non-issue to me. Like, characters, like, if he's, like, 20 years older, or so what? Like, that's not the point to me. Like, whether he's, that shouldn't define things. Like, when you adapt, it should be more important to find the right actor than one with the right age or the right hair color or whatever.
You know what, though? Like, you know, like, you guys remember the book, how, like, his avatar in the virtual reality world takes this, he takes the embodiment of, like, pretty much like a wizard, and like a Merlin type wizard.
Oh, so he could be the avatar.
Yeah, like, and I'm just like, I look at him and he's got these, like, twinkly blue eyes, and I'm just like, yeah, you could totally pull off the wizard robes with the pointy hat, and like,
and that's another thing that's so interesting that we're gonna discuss when we finally do our special. Like, how are they gonna do all the virtual stuff? Like, is it gonna look virtual? Is it gonna look real? Like, and what actors are they gonna get for the avatars, or is it all gonna be CG?
That's right. So, or is it going to be two different casts? Like, I was talking about this with somebody I work with, and he's like, this was before the movie got greenlit. He was just like, yeah, like, the problem with the movie is, like, not necessarily the copyrights, but do you cast two different people? Because so many people look completely different in the online world that Cline creates in comparison to what they look like in real life.
And what's his friend, Wade? No, that's the name of him. I don't remember.
It's H.
H. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But that's probably, we're leaning a little bit too much towards spoilers there if we go into that. But,
oh, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I figure everyone's read it by now, because
that's true. At least, like, all of our listeners.
Where we haven't talked about Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Basically.
So I'm so happy that all of our listeners are, like, on board with this.
Me too.
It's so great.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And I think people are also, like, most excited about the special more than anything else.
I know. We'll get on that, guys. I promise. Yeah. We could have two. We could have one with the book and then one when the movie
And then one for
out.
The movie.
Yay! Yes. So, okay. So the next story, this is cool. This is a cool follow-up to what we talked about a few weeks ago.
Over to TV. A couple weeks ago, I told you guys how I remember saying I had just started Sense8 and I was like, really? I was like, because it was only the first couple episodes. I was, like, very cautious about continuing the rest of it. Since then, I'd finished the entire series, and I'd loved it. I don't think I've gotten a chance to state back on hype how much I loved it, so it's amazing. And the news makes me so happy because they got renewed for season 2, and it took a long,
long time. Yay! I'm so happy for you.
So excited, because the thing with Sense8 is that it moves really slow, like really slowly, and it's too slow for a lot of people. But once you get to a certain point, it becomes addicting, and it's so fantastic. We'd actually just talked about how, or I just wrote about how the diversity in Sense8 is so incredibly important, and I think it's one of Netflix's most important shows that they've ever made because of the diversity that they have. Mm-hmm. So you have people from 8 completely different cities in I think a total of 6 different countries, and they're all pansexual, which is amazing. And it's just, I don't know, it's like, it's awesome. So if you haven't gotten a chance to watch Sense8, I definitely recommend that you do. And now you can watch it without having to worry about being like cut off at the end because they didn't get a second season, because they're getting a second season. Also, shameless plug, I'm working with the That's Normal Girls, and we're doing a Sense8 debate every Thursday, talking about 2 Sense8s per episode. So we already talked about the guy from Kenya, and we talked about the girl from Korea, and then this week we're going to be talking about 2 more. So head over to thatsnormal.com on Thursday nights, and we do live Google Hangouts, and you can join that.
Awesome. That sounds so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay, it's awesome. So staying with TV news, I know this is not I'm not 100% sure this is new, or if we just saw the leak trailer, but there's a new trailer for my new favorite TV show, The Omen, starring Pam's BFF, Bradley James.
Actually called Damien, by the way.
Oh, why do I call it The Omen? Oh, because it's based off the Omen. Okay, so it's my favorite show. I don't know the name of it, but
but I love it. Project.
Yes,
but you love it already.
Yeah, Damien. I apologize, Bradley James. I know you listen now that you are friends with Pam.
You know.
So anyway, it looks amazing. I'm so glad I didn't write up the news, because I think I might have accidentally mentioned The Omen. That would have been awkward.
So I didn't check out the news post. Or like this link that you posted until now, and this show sounds amazing.
Oh my god! If you've seen the trailer, I was gonna say this trailer.
I haven't.
It's a longer trailer. It features a lot of Bradley James and Barbara Hershey, and it was the one shown at Comic-Con, and it's like good quality, and it's about 1 minute long. And it's so creepy. Like, it is so scary. Like, it looks legitimately scary. Like, I was watching it this morning before we recorded, and I was sitting there, like, in broad daylight, just kind of, like, quivering. And I haven't, like, I don't really get scared about stuff anymore. So it was really surprising.
And it's on the A&E network? That's so random.
Well, it was originally on another one. I think it was Showtime.
And Lifetime.
Oh, there you go.
Which is the sister company, which is even weirder. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is weird.
But it actually fits with A&E because they've got Bates Motel going. So it's kind of like, you know,
yeah,
a nice little tie into their horror origin story series situation. And I think that's what they're kind of going for, even though. Well, at least that's what people have been speculating.
Yeah,
that's so random.
They do kind of fit together very well, don't they? But if you guys check out the trailer, it's definitely not Merlin. It's definitely not iZombie. It's definitely a lot more sinister, and I think there's going to be a lot of really gruesome stuff. But I will be watching for sure. But you saw it at Comic-Con, right, Pam?
Actually, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
Because I missed the panel. But I did see it later, and it's really good. I mean, the show looks ridiculously intense, and the actors that they have for it, it just looks like it's going to be so great. So I'm really excited to see Like obviously, like from a Merlin perspective, it's really nice to see Bradley James doing something that's a little bit different from what we've seen him do before. And I think it's going to be a really good project for him. So I'm really excited to see what he does with it. And Barbara Hershey is just like on point creepy. So that really excites me. But it's funny that you mentioned this like proper scary role, because our fellow Merlin alum Colin Morgan is actually doing a kind of supernatural type situation over with the BBC too. Mm-hmm. It's called The Living and the Dead. And it kind of, it's a time piece, but I guess from what I read, I just saw it like really quickly as I was Google searching for the Omen trailer, that him and this girl that plays his wife like move into this house, and there's some sinister spirits afoot. So looks like horror movies are, or horror TV shows are ahead for our Merlin the Wife.
Jesus. Like, yeah. Don't you think sometimes you see these actors, like, it was also when Daniel Radcliffe did that horror movie where he had a kid, and you're like, what? How can you? You're 12. It's sometimes it's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm excited about this next story, which is Pam's.
Moving on to a little bit more TV news. This is really exciting for X-Men fans, because it looks like Fox is in the kind of early stages of putting together an X-Men TV drama. We got this news out of the TCAs, which has been bringing us a lot of our TV news. Like, it's my favorite time of year. It's like a good time to be a TV fan when the TCAs come around. So the Fox CEO over there, Dana Walden, said, we're in negotiations with Marvel. We're hopeful that we'll be able to announce something soon. We're not closed on the deal yet, but it's something we're definitely pursuing. So this is actually really exciting, because for like most people know that X-Men is like the universe that it encompasses is just so vast. So they have the potential to really, if this does well, just like go on for a multitude of seasons and explore, like, not necessarily like the X-Men that we see a lot on the screen, like Wolverine and Rogue and stuff like that, but kind of really go into some of the others that, are, you know, beloved by people that read the comics or even watched the cartoons in the 80s and 90s, and just kind of go with those as well, for backstories and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
some exciting stuff going down. Yeah. I would be interested to see this. Like, I always enjoy the X-Men movies, and I'm excited for the one that's coming up next year in May. But I would totally be down for a TV show.
And let's face it, I mean, this is Heroes. This is exactly, Heroes, yeah. I guess, ripped it off. Yep. But Heroes was basically the TV version of X-Men. So
yeah, like it's ordinary people being persecuted for their differences.
And having suddenly these weird superpowers, and they each have different ones. Yeah, yeah.
I think this series should be really exciting for those who love the X-Men movies. And I think it's really, really interesting that this is coming out at such a interesting time, I guess you'd say, for Fox and Marvel, because someone mentions in the comments that you know, Fox doesn't own the rights to X-Men for TV, so they're still in talks with Marvel. And what's interesting is that Marvel probably isn't going to approve it unless they give something back. And it's so interesting, because people are debating about what they're going to do. And this comment on the article from GCW07 says, that means Marvel will want something in return, and I'm hopeful that they'll get back Fantastic Four and or possibly rights to some mutants.
Who needs Fantastic Four?
Well, the interesting part is the Silver Surfer is really important in the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. Oh. And the Infinity Gauntlet storyline is the current storyline that they're doing at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, with all the Infinity Stones. And so it's really interesting stuff right now for Marvel fans, because these talks are so important, and seeing what comes out of them is going to be very, very interesting for all fans, and everyone's going to be listening into this hardcore.
Guys, who would have thought, like, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that this extensive comic book canon would completely dominate TV and film? Really, it was right? So separate. Like, I remember, it was just a completely different world, and now it's just taking over everything.
Yeah, it makes me really happy, because it really, like, I never really got into the comics or anything like that, but growing up, I mean, I grew up with three brothers, so all these cartoons were on all the time, and a lot of the cartoons, like, they're not, like, obviously completely true to the comics, but they do take a lot of the same storylines, and, like, some of the plots you can't really change. So it just really is, like, nostalgic for me to see them kind of breathing new life into themselves. And I know they've never really gone away. Like, there's always been reincarnations of Batman for kids on the Cartoon Network and stuff like that, but it's really cool to see versions of these stories being brought to life for kind of, I guess, like young adults or even adults to mm-hmm. enjoy, because you can get a little campy with the cartoons. But all these TV shows are so well made. So anytime they announce a new one, I always just get really excited to see where they go with it.
Mm-hmm. It's really intriguing to me, because I remember, like, watching, I don't know, like Sister and Seinfeld and, like, all these old shows from, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. And, like, they'd show these guys interested in comic books, and they were legitimately the stereotypical nerd right. that no one liked.
Nerds are cool.
No
now.
One cared about. And now everyone is like, woo, comic books. Like,
well, you know
insane.
Why? You know what that is? It's because all the people who were nerds when they were young, like when they were kids, they were all sitting there drawing their comic books and making their scripts and being like inside being nerdy. Now they're adults. Now they're actually working in the industry. And now that's it's mainstream.
It's crazy. It's yeah. so awesome, but yeah. it's crazy.
It's very cool. All right, so on to the next story.
On to the next story is American Horror Story, TV related. I love American Horror Story. And Hotel actually just revealed the roles for a lot of their main characters. Not everyone, but they did reveal the roles for Lady Gaga, Finn Wittrock, and more. And so, I don't know. I'm not going to read every single one, because there's quite a few, but I guess I'll read the ones that most people are interested in. Like, Lady Gaga is Elizabeth, and she's the owner of the hotel. She's very wealthy, and she's consumed with art and fashion and people, which really bugs me, because that just sounds like Lady Gaga. And she has a nefarious plan that is revealed in the first episode, but will play out over the course of the season, so that should be interesting. Another person that people are going to be interested in is Kathy Bates. She's playing Iris. She runs the hotel. So even though Lady Gaga owns it, she runs it. And she has relationships with a bunch of people, and she can't stand some. So that's going to be awesome. And I think that's all I'll read. Angela Bassett. I'll read her just because Angela Bassett is amazing.
You sound so excited about it, Kyle. This is high quality.
I'm so excited, guys. No, really. I'm really excited. Angela Bassett's going to be playing Ramona Royale, which is such a badass name, I have to say. And she has a very strong, real, lasting relationship with Lady Gaga. And her character is fabulous and a fabulous actress. And she doesn't live at the hotel, but she visits very often.
Yeah, isn't Lady Gaga's character going to be bisexual? So she's going to have a relationship with Angela Bassett's character and someone else?
I do not know.
I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere.
I cannot remember reading that. But if you can, Dan. It's going to be really great. And I think...
She is, yeah.
She is?
Yeah.
The last one I guess I'll talk about is Finn Wittrock, who most people got introduced to last season on American Horror Story, who played Dandy. He was amazing. People are really excited to see what he's going to play. And he's going to play Tristan Duffy, who's a male model who is always looking for the next high. And he finds the biggest high in Lady Gaga. So,
oh, that's interesting. Because I was just reading this and saying that Lady Gaga, according to her interview with E! Online, she's going to be having relationship with Angela Bassett and Matt Bomer's characters.
Ooh.
So cool.
It's going to be so interesting. And I just have to point out, like, for those of you who don't remember, or maybe do remember, Finn Wittrock is the kid that I remember from Halloween Town, who played Halloween Town High, Marnie's love interest. And that's all I see in him, is just this little poor human boy who had no idea he fell in love with a witch. And it's so cute. But that's it.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Cool. Exciting. When does this premiere? Do you know?
It premieres in October.
All right.
October 3rd at 10 p.m. on FX.
Cool. Okay, so our final couple of stories. We have one piece of book news, which I wrote up yesterday, which is exciting. There, guys, there's a new J.R.R. Tolkien book coming out. Did you hear? What year is this? a previously unpublished story by J.R.R. Tolkien is hitting bookshelves later this month in the UK. The US has to wait until October. It's called The Story of Kullervo, which is actually based on a Finnish poem. And it ties into the Middle Earth lore because it takes place during the first age of the world. And it is Kullervo, who is the central figure, is the ancestor of one of the central figures in the Silmarillion, who is called Turin Tarambar, I think. And this is cool. This is interesting. I like this. I think it was last year that we reported that Tolkien had a book coming out, or Tolkien's estate was releasing a book about King Arthur. It was Tolkien's take on the Arthurian legends. And so, yeah, I mean, in the interest of full disclosure, I have always found the Silmarillion really hard to crack. I tried reading Children of Húrin a few years back, and I also found it very, very hard to... Because, you know, it is written in this kind of old style, obviously. And I love The Lord of the Rings so much. Not so much a fan of The Hobbit for some reason, but I love The Lord of the Rings. But I've never really been able to get into this lore. But another thing that I thought was super interesting about this particular story is we had a comment on the post from Ember Scorpio, who said that they point out there seems to be a new trend going around. Previously unpublished manuscripts or books of deceased authors getting published. First it was The Kill a Mockingbird sequel, then the new Dr. Seuss book, and now this Tolkien book. There's also obviously Terry Pratchett. This is kind of different because it was scheduled for release before he died, but he died earlier this year and he has a book coming out later this year. So, I mean, this is interesting. Have you guys noticed that at all?
I have not.
But
Pamela has.
Yes. You know, it's very interesting, and given the whole situation with the To Kill a Mockingbird
it's a prequel, isn't it?
It's a sequel?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. So the sequel, it's just like, I always kind of hope now after that anything that comes after this is not being done under like, kind of ill will situations, because there was a lot of, controversy over whether or not the author actually wanted it to be published or anything like that. But I guess that's not really the case with Tolkien's estate. And I'm not a huge fan of Lord of the Rings, but I did enjoy The Hobbit, which is really funny that you mentioned
what
that.
The book or
yeah the book
oh
but I think this is like super exciting for, you know, Tolkien fans, and like that fandom still rages strong, just kind of like the Star Wars fandom. So it's always fun to get new material, and absolutely. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful addition to what he already has out. So yeah, but his son also, like, he kind of handles the estate, right? Because he's a writer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like to think that they take good care of, you know.
Yeah, I think for sure. Yeah. So this is awesome, and our final news story is music.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited.
I'm so, you guys brace yourselves because next year might be the best year of your life. I'm not even joking. So according to a report, which was reported by The Sun over in England, so take it with a grain of salt. It looks like the Spice Girls may be gearing up for an international world tour to celebrate their 20th anniversary. And of course, they're counting this as the 20th anniversary of when they first released Wannabe, which was their first hit single. So this is just so exciting. Now, we say take it with a grain of salt because all of the girls haven't really committed. And I know that Mel B, who of course is Scary Spice, has gone on the record as saying like a tour would be cool, but nothing set in stone. And then Emma Bunton, who of course is Baby Spice, kind of went on her own radio show. She's got a radio show over in the UK saying that nothing is confirmed, so don't get your hopes up. But as soon as they know, they will let us know. But it's still really exciting to think that this could
those
actually
tweets,
be a possibility.
Though.
Oh my God, the tweets are my
the
favorite
tweets.
Part. So get this, you guys. After the news, quote unquote, broke, Mel C went on Twitter and wrote, "Woke up this morning wondering whether I need to start practicing my backflips." And the best part is But then Emma retweeted her and said, do I need to put my pigtails in? And the rest of like the Spice Girls fandom just went into a frenzy and everyone was like, yes, yes, yes. But apparently they're still like, no, no, no. So,
But come on. I mean, this is so cool because they're clearly like, this isn't them saying, oh no, it's probably not going to happen. This is them sort of testing the waters and I think it's going to happen.
Right. Ugh. And okay. We should also point out that the last time they reunited was for the 2012 Olympics, which were held in London. So the 2012 Summer Olympics. And that was like
four of them,
ridiculously
right?
epic when they all went.
Oh, did no, they?
Were all of them went. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was why it was such a big deal, because when they reunited, they did a reunion tour a couple of years back, but Victoria Beckham did not participate. So it was just the four of them, I believe. And so it was a big deal because they were finally reunited on the stage and they did it for the Olympics, which of course, you know, like they're national treasures over there. So it makes sense, but it would be really cool to see them all just kind of go on a world tour together.
Can I just share this heartbreaking story that I have involving the Spice Girls?
I think I know what you're going to say and I think you should share it.
Okay. Cause I think I've told you about it. So back when the Spice Girls first came out, with their reunion tour. Like, when was that? That was like, 2005?
Maybe? Six?
Yeah,
something like that.
2006. They did the world tour thing, and I was really excited. My parents would let me go, and I ended up, actually, you know what? I ended up buying tickets using my mom's credit card anyway, and I was going to sneak out of town go to the concert. And I was supposed to go with my friends, and my friends ended up going without me. They left, and I didn't have a way to get to the concert. I had bought these tickets, and I was so excited, and I like was so ready to rebel and go to this concert, and I couldn't go, and it broke my heart, and like I cried straight up because like the next day, like my friends were like, "Oh, this is so amazing! You should have gone." And I was like, it was literally the most heartbreaking concert experience of my life, and And so now, ever since that moment, whenever a reunion tour has been, like, even thought of, my very first instinct is, like, yes, yes, please, 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 because I need to make up for 2006 and go to a Spice Girls reunion tour so badly. And I'm also really mad at Victoria Beckham, because Victoria Beckham is, like, totally over the Spice Girls and like she has like her fashion career and she really doesn't need it and like and I'm like I realize that but I'm like please just like just suck it up and do the tour please because it would make my childhood complete.
do it for Kyle because Kyle missed out the first time.
Yes. Oh,
that's amazing. But who was your favorite Spice Girl?
Baby Spice. Oh my goodness.
Everybody's favorite was Baby Spice.
What? My favorite was Sporty Spice.
Really? Oh, that makes sense.
Why?
Because you chop wood.
Okay, wood.
Yeah, backflipping, chopping wood, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. She had the like most girl power going on.
Yep.
Like, and we were all going to be the Spice Girls today, like, Kyle would definitely be Baby, and you would be Sporty, and Marima with her girl power would be Jerry. She would be Ginger.
Okay.
And then I don't even know what I would be, but I would be somewhere in there.
Yeah. Or you could be Ginger Spice, and she could be Scary Spice.
That's true. She's kind of scary.
I could be Scary Spice. She's my second favorite.
She's kind of like the leader. You do lead the show.
Yeah, there you go. Or then Andrew could also be Scary Spice.
Then Andrew should be Sporty Spice.
Yeah, well, there you go. We just cast ourselves Spice Girls. If they don't do it, we'll do it. Spice of your life. Amazing. So that wraps up the news segment on a happy note. For TV show of the week, I'm just going to go straight ahead and say that I have nothing because I just got back yesterday. So I, you know, but Kyle can make up for it because he has two.
I have two. Yes. Okay. So the second one I'll do is more relevant. Pretty Little Liars. I just started it like last week. Like I've watched an episode like here and there before. But I really started binge watching last week and, it's amazing. And of course it's relevant because they revealed who A was tonight. And of course,
for like
you know,
the 17th time, I feel like there's an A revealed like twice a season.
But like apparently this was like the actual like real true reveal. And I'm mad because it got spoiled by me on Facebook. So now I'm like debating on if I should watch it, because every single time they wonder who A is, I know who they're talking about. So I'm like debating on whether or not I should continue binge watching.
It's quite a good show though. Like I mean, it's not good enough that I kept watching it, but I did watch it for about half
and
a
so,
season.
The second show actually is called, I don't know, have you guys heard of this show? It's called The Astronaut Wives Club.
Yeah, I've heard it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's on ABC, and it's really fantastic. It takes place in the 60s during the space race between like the US and Russia and, really the entire world. And it's so fascinating watching what these wives are up to and how important, like, of a role they play in this world, like for their husbands, and their husbands are the astronauts, but like the media is obsessed with them because they're the astronauts' wives. And it's really, really, really good. And I binge watched all 8 episodes in like a day.
Cool. Oh, only 8 episodes. That excites me.
Yeah.
I know, it's, right?
it's only 8 episodes in right now. So, and it's all on Hulu.
Wasn't it based on a book?
Very cool. Yeah, and it's historically, it's a historic fiction show, so the characters in this show are actually people who have been astronauts, and like, and they've been the first person in space and the second person in space. So, obviously, while it is Hollywood, there is some bit of historical accuracy, which makes it really interesting to me.
Fun. That's really cool.
Yeah, so much fun. That's awesome. It's actually one of the shows I've been considering putting on my list, but way far down.
If you watched Chuck, then Yvonne
Straczynski? I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, she's in it. She's amazing.
Strahovski.
And it represents, it's diverse in that there's someone with a disability on the show. One of the wives has a stutter. And my friend, who also suffers from a stutter, really appreciates it because she likes that there's someone representing her on the show, and it makes your heart melt, and like you just want to root for her every single episode. So it's
awesome.
Great.
Cool. And Pam, you have a not so TV show.
I know. I realized that I should have put this up at the top, but it's kind of like an app recommendation ish, but not really. So I don't know if anybody's noticed this. I don't know how long it's been like a part of the software, but Spotify has this thing called Discover Weekly. So it actually caters like the music choices on this playlist, which is updated every week. So every week it changes to kind of your tastes and preferences, which is really cool because the more you listen, like the more accurate this recommendation feature is. And so I've been using it, and it's been really fun because it not only will kind of pull out like, you know, deep cuts from artists that you are already listening to and enjoy. Maybe you kind of forgot about the song, or like you hadn't heard that version of the recording before, but it also does like a really good job of recommending music based on your tastes and preferences for the week. So it like every week it starts anew. So like last week I was like listening to a lot of top 40, so a lot of the stuff was reminiscent of that. And then this week I'm excited to see what it comes up with, because I've been listening to a little bit more indie stuff, like along the veins of She and Him, so I'll be excited to see what it recommends. So yeah, if you guys are looking for a way to discover new music, definitely check that out. And like I said, it updates itself every week, so it's kind of a cool way to discover new tunes.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for that. I think our listeners will appreciate that. Now, for our Hot on Hypeable segment, our dear Marima was kind enough to put a selection of stories together for us, because apparently I think she's been listening to the shows when I've tried to do it, and she's been like, no. she has to handle it herself, which is probably a good thing. And she would also like us to report that she is not on the show because she's still in mourning for Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. So Marima's off somewhere crying right now, but I will do my very best to report on the hottest stories on Hypeable this week for her. And our first story does kind of relate to why she's not here. We had a great article, which I was reading last night as part of my catch-up titled Why Jon Stewart's Daily Show Departure is Hitting Hashtag Millennials Right in the Feels. It's a nice little plug there for I wouldn't say typables, for Andrew's podcast, Hashtag Millennial, which we all know and love. And it was written by Elisa and Laura, who are hosts on the show. And it's a fantastic article. It just sums up Jon Stewart's sort of biggest moments. And I think that, I mean, for me, who is abroad and who actually, you know, you go to The Daily Show and you see this lovely passive-aggressive message. You're so close, yet so far away, which means I can't actually watch the clips. So I'm not a Jon Stewart viewer simply because I can't be. So it was really nice for me to read and to sort of catch up on his career. So I definitely recommend that, both if you're a Jon Stewart fan mourning the loss and if you are wondering why everyone is so sad that he is gone from The Daily Show. And second up is something else that is super exciting for us. It is a quiz. What is your hybrid Hogwarts house? It's a quiz by Katie, who was on one of our specials. No, she was on the show when you guys weren't there. She was kind of special, but our unspecial. And it was Andrew's idea. I feel like he would want me to say that because I complimented him on Katie's quiz, and he was like, "But I came up with it." Because it's been doing so well. Basically, you answer some questions and then you get not a Hogwarts house, but a hybrid Hogwarts house. So it could be something like Gryffindor or Slytherin. Did you guys take it?
Oh, yeah.
I took it so many times because I am trying to get Hufflepuff.
Oh,
or
is that Slytherpuff a thing?
Or whatever it's called. And I keep getting Gryffindor, which... Well, Pamela knows is not accurate.
It's not accurate.
Well, you know what? So. The PlayBuzz, and I know this because I did the Patronus quiz, like they only allow for 8 options, so it's very possible that's not an option at all.
Well, that's lame because you are clearly a Slytherin Puff.
Okay, yes. So it is a possibility.
And I've seen it. People have gotten it, and I'm mad that I have not gotten it. But
so you got Griffin Puff.
I got Gryffindor, which had you contacted me before I knew Pamela and Marima, I would have been completely 100% okay with, because I didn't think I was Slytherin at all. But now they've confused me, and Slytherin is my home.
I'm not convinced that you're a Slytherin, honestly. I think you're...
Don't get started.
But you're what he is.
I'm not sure he is.
You don't think so?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I think.
Kyle is one of the most ambitious and cunning people I've ever met in my life.
Well, what did you get? I was going to call you Ravenclaw. What did you get, Ravenclaw?
Inaccurate. No, I got Gryffindor, which is I kind of already knew. But I will say that I think Katie who wrote up these descriptions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like it completely fits me to a T, which is actually kind of scary. Like I think I when I took this, I tweeted out like, "You don't know me, Hypeable, but you do." It was great. What did it say? This is something about how I wouldn't necessarily cause a scene, but I wouldn't like stand for injustice. I would just be very noble about the way I would make sure that, you know, things were taken care of. And I was just like, yeah, that's exactly how I would handle everything. Like this is
Yeah. Yeah, see, I took the quiz twice, not because I wanted a different result, just because I did one on my phone and it didn't let me link it to Twitter. And I got Gryffindor, and I was I'm sorry, but that's just not right. Like because the description for me is kind of like seeing your horoscope and it doesn't fit and you're like, that's so weird. I'm such a Pisces. But like, I don't know. I mean, the Gryffindor part is right, but let's face it. I'm a total Gryffindor as well. I don't know, the Ravenclaw thing. They were like, you're like gonna like stand in the square and shout and you're gonna like lead people. And I was like, yeah, no.
You know what though? You keep saying this, but I think I've told you before that you have a little Ravenclaw in you. Like, I feel like you're curious by nature. Like we were talking about the Fantastic Four situation and how you would be curious to find out what goes on like behind the scenes and, you know, where that comes from. And I feel like that would be a very Ravenclaw attribute, because most people would just be like, well, the studio didn't agree, but you're over here like, but why don't they agree? And why well, is this the case?
That's
and
true, I but that's answers. Just because I'm such a nerd.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Ravenclaw's a nerd. So there you go. But so
in a hipster house. I mean, come on. I'm telling you right now.
That's very true.
They're like, oh, well, you have to ask. You'll never know.
But no, so it was a very, very cool quiz. And I'm determined to take it actually until I get Gryffindor just because I want the t-shirt. Because we partnered up with the...
kind of scares me, though.
Does it?
Gryffindor shirt.
Yeah, it does look kind of weird.
Gryffindor's logo, it's like, it's a badger on a lion.
Yeah, it's true. I like
it. Looks so happy to be there, but also...
It's true. Oh my god, you know, it looks like the Game of Thrones, like when the wolf, dire wolf, got its head cut off. Like, that's what it looks like.
Kind of. And the lion is just masquerading.
Oh, no.
It's like
I can't.
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's horrible. That's actually, maybe the Gryffindor one is nicer. That's, I might have to reconsider my allegiances just because it looks nicer. And she's vain too. God. No, so yeah, very, 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 very fun. And everyone should go take that quiz if they haven't already. It's gone viral. Like, oh my God. So that's awesome for everyone. And on the topic of Harry Potter, there were an amazing article written up by Merrima, 15 ridiculous texts the characters of Harry Potter would definitely send. It had me laughing out loud, which doesn't happen a lot when you're just sitting passively reading stuff. Amazing. And finally, for Harry Potter, there was an article by Ariana, who writes such great articles. Like, guys, it's just amazing. She wrote 9 reasons why Ginny Weasley is cooler than the movies give her credit for. I saw this, and for a second, I was like, did I write this? Like, did I publish this before I went on holiday? Because it seems like such a thing. Like, I love Ginny Weasley. I don't know if you guys do, but I do. I love her so much, and I've always thought that she was one of the best characters in the series. So I'm very, very, very happy with Ariana's article, and she gives a lot of great reasons for that. As Merrima says, reasons 1 to 9, she's Ginny Weasley, bitch. That should tell everyone what they need to know. And speaking of Ariana and her fantastic articles, she also wrote, everybody just calm down about Michael B. Jordan's blackness and other superhero concerns. So, breaking, people are super racist and Ariana is super awesome. Quote, Merrima. I love this article. I think it's fantastic. I am astounded that people legitimately take issue with his race. Anyway, we shouldn't get into that. And our final story is a giveaway by from The Walking Dead. You can win a season 5 Blu-ray and a Daryl Funko figure. So that is awesome, and you can find all that on hypeable.com. Cool. And finally, to wrap up the show, we have a few pieces of listener feedback. I'm going to give the first one to Kyle. It's from Kimberly.
Oh, hey. So Kimberly says, I'm scrolling. Kimberly Hainer says, just caught up on last week's episode, and I just want to share the song I sing in my head when I think of Hypeable. I always sing the Hotwire theme song. And here's the theme song for you. And I'm loading it, and I'm going to sing it for you. And it basically goes, Hypeable, hypeable.com. Hey. I really like it.
You know, it's funny that Kimberly said, did you talk about this last week?
No, we did. But I love that you did that, Kyle. I appreciate you so much.
Because whenever I've thought that for the longest time when I first joined Hypeable, every time I saw the Hypeable in my head, I would go in my head, Hypeable, Hypeable, we all just write for Hypeable, and I would like sing that over and over again. So it's amazing, Kimberly. I love how we have songs for that. And I had this intro for Hype at one point that I wanted Andrew to use, which was a parody of Who Let the Dogs Out, which went, who let the hype out? Who? But he didn't want to use it. And
I
don't know
like
why.
80s intros? Like,
that would have been brilliant. I don't know.
See, when I first started reading it, I was thinking about like the Oscar Mayer baloney song. And it'd be like, my fandom has a first name, Hypeable.
Oh, that would be good too. So right? Many missed opportunities. When we need a theme song for our website, we'll have lots of things to choose.
Like a contest.
Yeah. And our second comment from Kate Keeley. Pam, do you want to get it?
All right, so Kate Kelly says, the author of The Mortal Instruments, Cassandra Clare, recently tweeted that the first season of Shadowhunters will be a mix of both books 1 and 2 with some changes. Originally, it was to be a book per season, so I'm a bit weary. I wonder why they changed that. Could it have been that the movie already explored book 1, or that book 1 wasn't enough for 13 episodes? Or did ABC Family freak out when they realized that that would mean 6 seasons if it ever gets that far? I remember seeing photos from early in production, and it seemed like they were going to go through the story so quickly, but it makes sense now. Official photos are from the first 3 episodes, I think. That's really insightful, and I'm really glad that you wrote in about this, Kate, because I don't think we ever really discussed that. But it would definitely be interesting to see a story not necessarily be drawn out, which is the trend, but kind of be condensed, because short and sweet is never bad.
But it also makes sense, because I feel like, I mean, The Mortal Instruments, the first part of the book, it's sort of very slow. It has a very slow start. You know, that's like, it's a lot of, the main character, what is her name? Something with C.
Clary,
yeah. It's a lot of her sort of discovering what she is and hiding, like Percy Jackson style when all that stuff happens at the beginning. So, but yeah, so I mean, I like the idea that they're pushing a little bit ahead, and this isn't necessarily an indication of the pace of the show overall. It might just be that they are pushing some stuff forward because it makes for a more exciting start, and they want to get the best bits in at first to hook the audience. So thank you so much for that comment. And our final comment from Kyle, if you could flip it the right way around.
Sorry. So it's an iTunes review.
Yay!
And it is from someone whose name I cannot pronounce.
Webscale.
Webscale. I think it is. The title is very informative and fun. And they said, oh, I'm so happy. They said that this podcast is a great summary of the news of so many fandoms that I'm a part of. The hosts are fun and great to listen to. I love hearing the differing opinions and perspectives. And the reason we read these isn't to brag, but just like to share people's excitement about the podcast. And
I don't think anyone was thinking we were bragging until you just said that. And now everyone's like, oh my God, they're so braggy.
Oh no. I did it again.
I guess it's just nice to know that we have listeners and that you guys enjoy what we do.
Yeah, I mean, we have fun definitely.
Because we have fun doing it. So it's nice when we have fun as friends talking about stuff that we love and that you guys feel like you can have fun with us. So.
For sure. And I think it's also just in general, like, because we do really appreciate these iTunes reviews. Because the thing is that for us, like, we do this podcast and we don't, like, we do it no matter who's listening. But if you guys do enjoy the podcast, if you do want to help us out, then, like, a 5-star iTunes review will boost us in the rankings and it will help more people discover us. And the good thing for everyone about that is that we're going to get more comments. We're going to get more feedback. So when we all agree on a story, then it's more likely that someone will write in and have, like, this very, very great sort of distilled reply. Like, you know, Kate Killey in this case was able to add more info to your Mortal Instruments discussion last week. By the way, if you have, like, a name, like, that isn't your shipping preference that you want us to call you, then let us know. just for next time. So that's just really great. And if you don't want to do it, if you, like, don't really like us or whatever, then just don't do it, because we're fine otherwise. But if you do want to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, then that is sort of the only way that we have to promote ourselves a little bit outside of Hyperbole. So it would be very much appreciated, and we thank everyone who has done it so far. It's very, very helpful. And if you do have sort of constructive criticism for us, feel free to tweet us or to write us a comment or contact us personally, because we're always looking for ways to improve the show. But the main way that we can improve is actually to get more listeners. So there, that is my public service announcement, I guess. And that's a great way to end the show, I guess, unless anyone else has anything else to say. Next week is another week of exciting news. It's been a few slow couple of weeks, but it is summer and we're heading into the middle of August. So that means show promotion will be picking up. I imagine we'll have a lot of TCA stuff to report next week for the TV shows. And As I said at the beginning of the show, if you want to leave us a comment, you can go to hypable.com, which is hypable.com. You can also go on Twitter at hypablehype, and you can follow us on Instagram at hypablehype. Until next time, my name is Selena.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Pamela.
Yay!
We hope you liked it.
We liked it. You liked the show. 'm back and everything is wrong. Okay, take two. Pam, do you want to get it? She doesn't. She's like, no, I'm out. I'm done.
She's sure. Like, no.
This is one comment I'm not going to read. Hello?
Are you guys still there? It got so quiet.
I like it.
Is that going to be our new hello?
I think so. Hello, I like it. Okay.
All right, you guys want to hear your some story. Spielberg/Ready Player One news?
Yes, because we like it.
Because we like it.